Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It seems to have been a surprisingly good election day for Democrats locally and nationally. I could run down the list, but we have to start this way. Bob Henley just walked in with the big banner headline right on the front page of the Star Ledger. Go.
Yeah. So we have here, this is the picture that I don't think the Christie administration wanted to see. You have Governor Cody, who was successful, even though his district got six more Republican towns in it. It says, Dems strike back, finally give Christie a black eye. And, of course, it has a picture of Cody front and center. There's some speculation he might want to challenge Christie in 2013.
A two-line, large-type banner, meaning all the way across the top of the paper, front-page headline in the Star Ledger, Dems strike back, finally give Christie a black eye. Now, reality check. They only picked up one seat
in
the state legislature.
Right.
Does the headline actually reflect the reality?
Well, you know, politics is the art of having it both ways, that you're either a winner or not a loser. And so Christie did try to lower expectations, and historically, in point of fact, the incumbent governor generally sees some loss, one or two. In the case of it was in District 3 this time, where a Republican assemblyman, Dominic DeSico, lost because his redistricting found himself in a district with two Democratic incumbents
established. The redistricting after the census favored the Democrats.
Right.
Here, by the way, is Christie, while going to vote yesterday, downplaying or downgrading the expectations.
Every governor in the last 48 years, except for one, has lost seats at his first midterm or her first midterm election. And the average loss is 10 seats. So if all I do is stay even today, that's going to be a real, real good sign that people like what we're doing.
Right. And I guess here the one person was McGreevy. He's talking about where they did manage to pick up some seats. The Democrats did when McGreevy was in. I think, though, the governor did selectively identify, triage, if you will, some key races where he did put a lot of prestige and face time and money behind the Republicans, particularly District 38 in Southern Bergen County, where Democratic Senator Bob Gordon had a map that really worked against him. He lost Fort Lee. He lost Cliffside Park, picked up Hawthorne, which is in Passaic, and Glen Rock and Bergen County, which have Republican voting histories, and he ran against Freeholder Republican John Driscoll. Now, the results were 20,835 for Gordon, that's 53%, to Driscoll's 18,689, or 47%. So it
was
relatively
close. That's not a lot of voters in the large scheme of things, but this was the race where Governor Christie put his marbles on the line.
Right, and it also it's because the momentum was considered to be with the Republicans. One of the things that's happened is that Bergen County politics, the Democrats were really in a renaissance under controversial Chairman Joey Fierro, who had built a very strong organization, ran into corruption problems. There was a trial. Some of the top-tier people within that organization had their careers derailed because of corruption allegations. So under that opportunity, Kathy Donovan, a Republican, came in and got some labor and environmental support to become a Republican county executive, defeating Dennis McInerney and carrying the majority of the Freeholder board. What happened last night, though, was that we saw the Democrats won in the surrogate level, and you had them win on the county clerk, defeating Northfield Democrat John Hogan, beat incumbent GOP clerk Elizabeth Randall, and they held on to the two Democratic seats that they had, so in the Freeholder board. So in essence, Bergen County, which was trending, had gone for Obama and showed signs of moving back into the Republicans, the Democrats stopped the damage.
Why? Who's unhappy with Christie in what way to make that happen?
I have to say that when I went to Republican headquarters, the people that were around the Driscoll campaign said their number, they thought they were going to get out 45,000 people. That was the universe of votes that they were hoping for. It actually came out to be like 38,000. So in essence, to me, it sounds like the Republicans didn't get their base out, whereas the Democrats did their work and labor was in the House.
Those who are the angriest are the teachers unions and other public employee unions.
Sure.
And they turned out. So is that who swung this election?
I would say that organized effort, because what you have here is when you have, like, I think the turnout may be below 30%. You have the amplified vote. Like you say, the person in the base who has really been following this closely, they're going to turn out. In fact, we took calls last night during our special from people who, even though they knew they were in a Republican-dominated area like Morris County, still went out to vote just to try to shrink the margin of defeat for the Democrats.
Does this mean anything for 2012?
Well, this is the weird part here, is that is it transferable? That's a tough call. Governor Cody had like a $1 million war chest assembled. He was being challenged by a Republican insurgent Tea Party candidate, Bill Ames. What he did was he looked at, you may remember, during the primary last year, the presidential cycle in 2008, we had a Donnybrook. We had Senator Clinton, local name, well-regarded, going up against Senator Obama. And that was the race everyone wanted to participate in. Brian, the Democratic numbers went crazy. Tens of thousands of new registrants. So Cody figured, okay, let me see what became of those people, and he spent the money and resources to track them. Of the 10,000 new registrants that were Democrats, brand new minted Democrats in the mix, he found out that since that general election of 2008, Brian, less than 10% voted again. So that explains what happened in the 2010 election. So the question is, can this be transferable and reignite this base? Because there is a certain level of disappointment and a certain feeling that what they thought they elected President Obama to do has not happened.
Did you follow New York at all? The Democrat in the Suffolk County executive race also won by a wide margin. That's being analyzed as giving Governor Cuomo a strong ally where he didn't have one before. And if something ties them together, I'm not sure that anything does, but here's another New York suburb where an important race was supposed to be close and the Dems won easy.
Well, I think that what's happened is Governor Christie had a tremendous amount of personal capital. He had all this momentum. He used this national opportunity to raise money for the local party, and he put some chips on certain key races, and the Democrats prevailed. What that does, it will embolden the Democrats, once they get over their own internal battles over leadership, to at least begin to try to articulate an alternative vision. Up to now, Christie's been running the table. It's been his pension reform that Democratic Senate President Sweeney and Speaker Oliver has been signing on to. Now I think this gives the Democrats a moment to offer some alternative.
And maybe they'll push back. For example, the Times today described both Democratic legislative leaders, Sweeney and Oliver, as letting the governor have his way. Is that era over after that election?
Well, I think
it
means that now you're going to have the whole kabuki dance over who runs against Christie in 2013. And so now that it's been shown that Democrats still have the juice in places where the Republicans had some momentum, it means that you're going to have a kind of discussion about what is New Jersey Democratic Party. Up to now, you had basically Sweeney was in command and control, and there was this little group that kind of spun off that were supporting the unions and voted against the Sweeney-Christie pension reforms. That group now, Loretta Weinberg, the people like Senator Cody, Linda Greenstein down from down in the 14th district, right? Those people coming back in, they're reinvigorated.
Let me touch some of the national stuff before you go. Two very interesting referenda in Ohio, the swing state of Ohio, which turned back their Republican governor's end to collective bargaining rights for public employees.
Yeah, Kasich had a bad day.
That was overturned. But also in Ohio, I believe voters passed the non-binding resolution supporting a ban on an individual mandate on health insurance.
Right.
So the Obama agenda lost, and the Republican gubernatorial agenda on collective bargaining for public employees lost.
There's kind of like a populist libertarian thing that I read out of that. And there's no doubt, though, that in Ohio, there was something in that labor vote that galvanized the imagination of the union wing of the Democratic Party. And that's something that they really haven't had yet in New Jersey, but certainly it sets the ground. If I'm President Obama, I feel a lot better about my prospects in Ohio today.
WNYC's senior political correspondent, Bob Henley. Thanks a lot.
Man. Thanks.
Now I get it. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Nada Prouty, the U.S. anti-terrorism special agent, falsely accused of treason. She has now been exonerated and will tell her story. Stay tuned.